Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Matthew 14, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake, and he dismissed the crowds. He was on the mountain by himself, alone, praying. The boat was a long way off from the land, beaten by the waves. The wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." They cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we look at this beloved incident and encounter of Jesus on the lake, Peter trying to walk and sinking, and Jesus catches him and saves him. And we hear the beautiful words of Jesus, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Our text today is a powerful illustration of Jesus being both God and man, isn't it? We see Jesus portrayed as true man because he walks up the mountain, he spends time alone, he prays with his Father as true man who came in our place to be the second Adam, our Savior, the one who speaks to the Father for us. He is true man. But we also see Jesus as true God. He is walking on the water. He acts in mercy to rescue Peter. This Jesus, who is both God and man, says to you today, like he said to the apostles in the boat and to Peter, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Many of us have many reasons to have lost heart, or you can't see Jesus, or you're filled with fear. Who of us haven't lost heart? The tragedies of life cause people to lose hearts. Suddenly you're summoned to the boss's office, and he says, "Your job has been terminated. Sorry about that," even though you've worked there for 23 years. Jesus says, "Take heart. Even in that situation, I will not leave you or forsake you, but will provide for you." There's times we can't see Jesus. In crisis moments, the late night voice on the phone that says, "Dad, I'm in jail." And Jesus says, "It is I. I am as close to you as the Word of God, the Scriptures, as close to you as the prayers that you pray. I am there with you and your son, even in that crisis moment." And there's times also we're filled with fear, threatening storms. The doctor says, "I don't like that spot. I'd like to take a biopsy and send it to the lab." Jesus says, even then, "It is I, do not be afraid. You can do all things in Christ who strengthens you." Whatever situation you find yourself in today, Jesus who walks on the water, Jesus who keeps us safe in the boat of the church, Jesus who can rescue Peter from sinking, can help you in whatever your unique situation is right now. Since Jesus, the Son of God, since Jesus is the Son of God, you can take heart and not be afraid. Listen to his word and to his voice. Keep your eyes on him and trust him in all circumstances. This is what we learn from this encounter on the Sea of Galilee. So to look at this encounter on the Sea of Galilee, let's first of all look at Jesus praying on the mountainside, then Jesus walking on the water, and then third, the one who reached out to save Peter can reach out to save you and me. So let's first look at Jesus as true man who is praying on the mountain. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He makes the disciples get into a boat and go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And he purposely dismisses the crowd. Why? The other Gospels tell us that people wanted to take Jesus by force and turn him into a bread king, where he could just magically provide bread for them and they wouldn't have to work anymore. Jesus wants none of this. He has fed the 5,000. He told them he's the bread of life, but now he dismisses the crowd. He will not be a bread king. And now he goes up on the mountain by himself to pray. He was there alone when evening came. Jesus' true man is also our intercessor. He often goes to the top of a mountain to be alone with the Father and to pray as our intercessor in heaven, to pray for us, his church. His heavenly Father had set a course for Christ, for soon Jesus' path would lead to the cross. As Paul said in Romans 10 this morning, on Mount Sinai, Moses received the law and the righteousness of the commandments. But now as we see Jesus on this mountain and about to go to the Mount Calvary, we have a righteousness by faith because Christ kept those commandments for us. Christ will die in our place, descend into hell to proclaim his victory, rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, and now the word of Christ is as near to us as the word that you're hearing with your ears right now, the Bible that you read. The word of Christ is near your ear and heart, and he who believes in Christ crucified and risen from the dead, St. Paul, will be saved. There's no distinction. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the week, this is the work Jesus was meditating upon on that mountain in solitude with his Father, preparing himself, not long after this, to be crucified in our place. And our Lord Jesus Christ did this in our place so that the sins we committed would be placed upon him and the righteousness that he has would be placed upon us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Accounted righteous, holy and without blemish, before God the Father in heaven. This Jesus, the true man, is the one who was praying for us and for his church on the mount. But then we see Jesus as true God, the one who walks on the lake. Jesus, now as he comes down from the mountain, sees the boat a long way from land, beaten by the waves. And keep in mind, many of these apostles were themselves fishermen. They knew all about boats. But the wind was blowing against them. It should have taken them 3 hours to get across the lake. For 8 hours they've been rowing, and they still haven't made it across the lake. It must have been a ferocious wind and waves. Jesus comes to them in the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark. And he comes to them walking on the water. He's walking out to them in their boat. Consider Jesus and water. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, Jesus, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, created the seas and the water. In Genesis, it says, the Father created the water through the Word Jesus, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the surface of the deep. The Jesus who created the water could walk on the water since it must obey him. He was its creator. Jesus walking in the water out to the disciples is now seen by the disciples in the boat. They're terrified. It's dark. It's a ghost, they say. They cry out in fear. Terror grips them, as it would you and me. This is not a common sight, seeing someone walk to you upon the water. But the key thing is the word that Jesus spoke to them. Jesus immediately spoke to them. He saw their terror. He saw their fear. And as he was getting closer to the boat, about to get in, he says, "Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid." Take heart means be of good courage. It is I. It really is me. Listen to my voice and my word. Do not be afraid. Trust me. I will take care of you. Jesus has power over the wind and the wave and the water because he was creator along with the Father and the Spirit in Genesis. And as Job said today, actually the Lord is speaking to Job in the lesson today. The Lord is the one who laid the foundations of the deep, the cornerstones of the sea that burst forth, the clouds, the proud waves, the springs of the sea. He walks in the recesses of the deep. Jesus could walk in the water, for he was the Lord of the water and the creator of the water, and wants to assure them, take heart, you don't have to be afraid. It is truly I, your Lord and Savior. So Jesus is true man, prays for us, and goes up on the mountain. Jesus is true God, can walk on the water, and has power over all creation, and says to you and me, take heart, it is I, you don't be afraid. But now Jesus had to rescue Peter, just like he has to rescue you and me. And now Jesus, the God-man, does something for Peter. Peter, don't we love Peter? Impetuous Peter, always wanting to get in on the action, but always a little bit off. And here it is again. Peter answered, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the waters. Jesus does say, come, and allows it. Now something to keep in mind here is this. It is not Jesus that tells him, come on out here. It's Peter that wants to go out. And he begins by saying, if it's really you, Lord. He was doubting Jesus' word. That wasn't enough for him. So now he does something foolhardy. If that's really you, then I want to come out on the water. He does an impetuous and foolhardy thing. Now it's true. Jesus allows it and says, okay, come. And so he gets out of the boat and he's initially walking on the water. Because the Lord is indicating to him, my word ought to have been good enough for you. But if you want to walk in the water, okay. And as long as he was looking at Jesus, he was fine. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid. He began to sink and he cried out. Now we see that his foolish act led to desperation. Lord, save me! And Jesus, despite Peter's foolishness, reaches out his hand, takes hold of him, and brings him into the boat. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? They got into the boat, and the wind ceased. There was a twofold thing Jesus was saying to Peter. First of all, why did you doubt when I told you that it was me walking on the water? It really wasn't necessary for you to come walking out here. But since you did come out, why didn't you just keep your eyes on me and not to doubt? If you look at me, believe my word, you would not be sinking. But Jesus rescues him nonetheless. And those in the boat get down on their faces and worship him. Truly, you are the Son of God. Now, not to get overly allegorical, because we as Lutherans want to be careful that we don't allegorize everything in the Scripture. But you know, you're sitting in a boat. This is called the nave, the boat. And you're kept safe in this boat through the work of Christ, who has reached out to you and saved you. In the divine service, he reached out to you and saved you in the waters of holy baptism, some of you at that very font. When the word of Christ is read and absolution is being proclaimed to you, he reaches out and saves you from your sin and brings you into the boat of the church. On the Sundays that we have Holy Communion and receive Christ's body and blood, in a very tangible way, he's reaching out to you and saving you. In a very real way, he has come to us on the waters of holy baptism, rescuing us from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. He has rescued us through the waters in our baptism. And we can trust his word. Even when we do foolhardy things, he has mercy on us. We believe his word, we trust him, and he saves us. Everyone in this room has something on your heart and mind this week. Things may have gone well, but there's one thing that's particularly bothering you. Some of you really need saving from something. You're in a situation that you cannot figure out a way out of it. Especially at times like these, we realize that I'm going to hear Jesus' word. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on him. He promises to save me and says, do not be afraid. Take heart. It is I. As long as we keep our eyes focused on Christ, then it will not matter that there's wind and waves. It'll not matter that there's times that we're sinking. He will reach out. He will save you. And through his holy word and sacrament, he does it week after week after week. In conclusion, it is true that Peter was initially of little faith and doubted Jesus' word. But it's still true that Jesus rescued him. There are times you will feel like your faith is pretty weak too. But the Lord will still reach out to you and catch you and save you. In so doing, he will strengthen your faith. He is still reaching out to you. He's speaking to you through this sermon. He reaches out to you through the reading of Holy Scripture and in the waters of holy baptism, in the word of absolution, and in Holy Communion. And like the apostles, we fall down and worship him and say like the centurion at the cross, truly this was the Son of God in human flesh. We have faith and believe Jesus' word. We take heart and we're not afraid. Paul said in Romans, by the way, we don't have to go looking out there somewhere to try to find God's interconnection with our life. St. Paul said, this word is near you. The word of the gospel, so that you can call on him, so that you can believe in him, so you hear of him. We preach of him. We are sent for him. Beautiful feet walk for him. The good news is all about him. The gospel that you hear, that's preached. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of Christ. And you're hearing the word right now. You don't have to go somewhere else to find what God wants for you in your life. You're hearing his word to you right now. And every time you read Holy Scripture. Whatever you're dealing with right now, I don't know. But God does. Whatever you need saving from, the Lord Jesus will save you. And we who fall down and worship him in the nave of this boat, the Holy Christian Church, take heart today. Remember Jesus' word. It is I. Do not be afraid. May he give that faith to you and to me. Take away the fear. Replace it with courage and peace in our hearts in Christ Jesus, the one who walks on the water. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds, faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.